Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
That's your leading the charge, and today I'm going to talk about Allen versus Mahomes, Bills versus Chiefs, Buffalo Bills 2023 awards, and a little bit more. Feel free to interact via the YouTube comment section, and I will gladly answer all your questions. Hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel, and be aware of all Bills news and all Bills content created by Buffalo Rumblings, especially for you, Bills Mafia. So this episode is also available via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the main podcast aggregators. And so, without further ado, let's start talking some Bills. And in today's show, I want to start with a tweet from a week ago that kind of went viral. Yes, I'm a small fish, you know, so having over 1,000 likes and a lot of retweets, it's already a tweet that went viral for me, for my person. Sorry if I'm not the biggest content creator in Twitter and I don't have the biggest reach with my tweets, but for my perspective, for the amount of tweets that the likes that I get from my tweets, this one went viral about Bills and Chiefs, Mahomes versus Allen, and a lot of people, especially on the Chiefs fan base, felt disrespected or felt mad about my take comparing Allen and Mahomes. Other Bills fans obviously didn't agree as well. And I want to start talking, Bills Mafia, about takes on Twitter or everywhere that we don't agree. And then I don't think it's needed sometimes to act so poorly towards it, right? So I can understand when we watch people like Acho, people like Ryan Clark, people who obviously have an agenda against Josh Allen, for example, talking a lot of nonsense, and it's on TV, on big time companies like ESPN, and well, they reach to a lot of people, and it's pretty obvious that they act differently towards different players, and they kind of have an agenda against Josh Allen. And I can understand Bills Mafia getting mad at them. I get mad at them as well, but I will simply hit the unfollow button or the mute button or change the channel on my TV. I won't really feel the need to say bad things to those guys. Or after all, they are entitled to their own opinions, and it's all good at the end of the day. But some people really want to get offensive on different opinions, even between us, Bills Mafia. Sometimes we don't agree on a take on McDermott, on a take on Josh Allen, on a take on Stephon Diggs or any of our players, coaches, or team situation. But it's all good. At the end of the day, all of us, we can have our own opinions. None of us are always right. And I feel like we can respect each other's opinions. We can at least consider their opinions. We can listen to their to the why do you have this opinion, right? And then evaluate if it makes sense for you or not, and go forward. I've already changed my mind on some subjects when discussing with people smarter than me, talking about the Bills, about some players, coaches, and I could see from their perspective and change my mind on some subjects. Otherwise, I believe I could change other people's perspectives on some of my takes as well. So it's fun. It's part of the game. It's part of being a fan of a team and evaluating players understanding more the game and evaluating the process. And I feel like all of us can grow this way. And getting offensive, we just get into unnecessary internet fights and unnecessary online bad mouthing, and we can't grow from there. So I plead here so Bills Mafia can start. Obviously, there are a lot of great people on social media that you can have really great conversations. And all of us, sometimes we aren't on bad days and can act poorly towards each other. So, but let's take it easy, chill, and understand each other's opinions. And you always have the right to disagree. You always can agree to disagree and move forward. So, talking about my tweet, let me put it on the screen. So, that's the tweet that went viral for my perspective or the number of retweets and likes that I normally get. And it says, Josh Allen clearly is the only quarterback that not only can go toe-to-toe versus Mahomes, but can outplay him in the playoffs. Unfortunately, he gets nowhere near as much help, not from his weapons, nor from his offensive line or D, and definitely not from his head coach versus Andy Reid. Depressing. Hashtag Bills Mafia. So 69K views, 1.2K likes, 115 retweets, and 133 comments. It's a lot for what I used to get. I don't tweet for likes or retweets. And it was a simple comment that I made on January 28th after the Bills Chiefs game. And a lot of interaction towards this tweet. With all the interaction that I got there, I decided to check and to dive deep on some of those games, those Bills and Chiefs battles, those Allen versus Mahomes battles. And with all the comments, some great comments out there, others not so much, I could rethink about it and evaluate it and come to the content for this show. So I hope you enjoy and feel free, as I always tell, so you can interact and comment in the comment section on YouTube or even on Buffalo Rumblings message boards. So, first place, nowadays people have, or it's not only nowadays, I feel like it's been for a long time like this, people tend to confuse players' matchups against teams' matchups, right? Because the last time I checked, we're not talking about tennis, or we're not talking about boxing or MMA, or we're not talking about any of those sports. We're talking about a team sport. We're actually talking about the ultimate team sport in football, all right? You have 53 players on the roster. We have multiple coaches. You have 11 starters on offense, 11 starters on defense, more specialists playing special teams. You have the backups that enter the rotation. You rotate a lot, those 11 guys on both sides. So that's the reason I can't accept winning as a quarterback stat. I know a lot of people have it as winning as a quarterback stat. I really believe, yes, the quarterback is the player that maybe has the most impact on those wins of all those players that I already mentioned on the roster. But quarterbacks can't solely win games, okay? And it's very hard for them to solely lose games as well. They need minimal help to win games, and they need to have zero help at all to be able to lose game by themselves. So with that in mind, I feel like my tweet makes sense, because if we compare the games between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes along the years, those last 5 years, you can see a lot of parity in their performances against each other. And one thing that has been common for the Chiefs to have the the most success in the playoffs, where they are 3-0 against the Bills, despite the overall 4-3 record against the Bills in these last 5 years, is that Mahomes has had more help. I think it's undeniable. Everybody who's watched those games can see it. I'm not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes, and I want to make it clear in this show. I will talk about Josh, I will talk about Mahomes, and I will talk even a little bit about Joe Burrow. All of them are great quarterbacks. All of them, they are the top three quarterbacks in the league. Maybe Lamar Jackson can be near them, but I feel like he's fourth. I feel like Mahomes and Allen are on another level, even against Joe Burrow. And I'll talk a little bit more about it. But when I made that comment, saying that Josh is the only quarterback that not only can go toe-to-toe versus Mahomes, but can outplay him in the playoffs, especially Chiefs fans, they were mad at me and saying, Josh never outplayed Mahomes in his career. Why he can't get a dub if he outplayed Mahomes? And I come to this situation where people confuse Bills versus Chiefs with Mahomes versus Allen. Josh Allen has done everything possible to beat Mahomes, and he's beaten Mahomes in regular season, and he's played well enough to beat Mahomes in the playoffs. And the reason he hasn't beaten Mahomes in the playoffs yet isn't his play. It's the play around him. It's the coaching around him. And again, when I say coaching around him, and I know people who follow me, people who has watched Leading the Chargers, yes, sometimes I can be very critical on Sean McDermott. But when I tell you that McDermott loses a battle to Andy Reid, it's not always negative only on Sean McDermott. And it's also positive on Andy Reid. That's a great offensive-minded coach, maybe the best play caller, offensive play caller in the history of the game, maybe. He's up there, certainly. So when I say that we lost at the coaching battle on those matchups, I can't even consider it a hit on McDermott sometimes. Yes, I hold against him the 13 seconds maybe, or I didn't like the fake punt call, but it could have worked. Even if it worked, I wouldn't have liked it. I feel like if you felt you can't stop the Chiefs and you gotta get aggressive there, give another opportunity to your franchise quarterback to get those 4 yards and not a gimmicky call. So, but it's not even holding anything against McDermott. It's praise for Andy Reid, who's been awesome. And it's also a little bit of lucky involved, because I always tell that on, obviously the Bills and Chiefs aren't a matchup in the division. It's not a divisional matchup where people know each other very well for playing twice a year. But it has become this kind of matchup because the Bills and Chiefs have faced each other twice a year, almost every year in the last 5 years, just not last year, right? And I spoke a lot of years here, sorry. But McDermott has been a little bit unlucky, because if we check the matchups and we check the scoreboards, the Bills have had plenty of success against those Chiefs. But unfortunately, and why did I bring the divisional matchups? Because I always tell how it's difficult to beat other good coaches twice a year, because they're going to adjust. And if you won the game, you don't need to adjust much, because you won't adjust something that's working. But if you lost the game, you will search for some answers. You search for some new wrinkles so you can get the best of your opponent in the next time. And that happens a lot. And that's the reason the Dynasty Patriots lost some games to the Bills and lost some games to the Dolphins, to the Jets, because it's a chess match. And every time your opponent's going to come with a new plan, they were going to check something that worked against you from other team and try to do the same thing. So it's hard to beat good coaches twice in a row. And to McDermott's support, right, he's been able to beat Andy Reid. Unfortunately and unluckily, always his answer game is in the next regular season, and we're going to have it again next season with the Chiefs coming to Buffalo in regular season and probably McDermott having some new answers for the latest plan that Andy Reid used and worked against the Bills in these playoffs.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So, Bills Mafia, hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Ramblings, and support our work here. So, McDermott has been unlucky with this, but he's had some answers, and he's had success after losses against the Chiefs. He's had success winning the next games. Unfortunately, it's always regular season game, and then it's Andy Reid's turn to adjust and come with something new and to be able to beat the Bills in the playoffs. That's unfortunate for the Bills. But one thing in common, on all Bills' losses in the playoffs, or especially in the most famous two, or the two that hurt the most, the 13 seconds game and this latest game, Josh Allen played amazing football. He's certainly playing well enough to win those games. And you can make a case that he outplayed Mahomes, leading the Bills to wins, unfortunately being let down by his teammates or the coaching or the play around him, right? Or everything around him. And I have here, and I will throw on the screen via StatMuse, those Bills Chiefs matchups in the last 5 years, right? And especially for Chiefs fans that think Josh never outplayed Mahomes, okay? And I said in the playoffs, so let's bring the playoff matchups, right? The Bills and the Chiefs, all Chiefs wins. The Chiefs beat the Bills 38-24, January 24th. And in this game, Josh Allen had completed 28 of 48 passes, 287 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and run 7 times for 88 yards, being the Bills' leading rusher, with the second lead rusher, Devin Singletary, 6 carries for just 17 yards. So, again, Josh Allen was the entire Bills' offense, throwing and rushing, right? He had help from Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs with 7 and 6 receptions, respectively, but no touchdowns. And Mahomes had a great game, 29 out of 38, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, run the ball 5 times for 5 yards, and he had plenty of help from Tyreek Hill with 9 catches for 172 yards, and Travis Kelce with 13 receptions for 118 yards, 2 touchdowns. So you can tell Mahomes outplayed Josh here. Yes, sure. But Josh played a pretty good game here, right? But unfortunately, not enough to be able to compete with the powerhouse Chiefs and this powerhouse offense with Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill. Okay, 1-0 Mahomes. Let's go to the next game, and that's the 42-36, 13 seconds game. So here, it's the first game that I will tell you, Josh outplayed Mahomes here. Josh completed 27 of 37 passes, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And again, he was the Bills' leading rusher, carrying the ball 11 times for 68 yards. Devin Singletary carried the ball 10 times for 26 yards. All right. Big game by Gabe Davis, 8 receptions, 201 yards on 10 targets, 4 touchdowns. Beast was important with 6 receptions. Diggs didn't have a big game, right? And okay, but he was responsible to drawing some attention and allowing Gabe Davis to win his matchups 1-on-1. Mahomes had more yards than Allen. He completed 33 or 44 passes, 378 yards, and 3 touchdowns, right? He also led the team in running the ball here. 7 carries for 69 yards, but Edwards-Helaire had 7 carries to 6 yards. So it was balanced, and he had more carries from Jerick McKinnon with 10 carries and 24 yards. So Mahomes was responsible for less than 50% of the 182 yards that the Chiefs got on the ground. Josh Allen had 68 of 109 yards the Bills got on the ground. Patrick Mahomes also had an extra possession in the overtime. Josh didn't have an opportunity to answer that extra possession for Mahomes. So Mahomes would have ended the game with less yards than Josh Allen throwing here. And he would end the game in regulation with just 2 touchdowns instead of Allen's 4 touchdowns on regulation. All that needed to happen to Josh clearly having outplayed Mahomes here, all that Josh Allen needed to, so the world could recognize that he outplayed Mahomes in this 13 seconds game, was Harrison Butker missing from 49 yards at the end of the regulation. All that Josh Allen needed was the defense getting a stop, or at least not allowing the Chiefs to drive the distance and to get in field goal range, where they played extremely soft and scared by McDermott, by Frazier. And that's something McDermott finally seems to have figured out this year, playing more aggressive late in the games against Dolphins, against the Chiefs during regular season. But back in time, he was still that scared guy late in games, just like he was more recently, the last time against the Eagles, and then he adjusted. So all Josh Allen needed as help there was one stop, his defense not allowing them to get in field goal range in 13 seconds, and or Harrison Butker missing a 49-yard field goal as the game time expired. So if Butker misses that field goal, Josh Allen clearly outplayed Mahomes on that game. Clearly, with 2 more touchdowns, with more rushing yards, with more passing yards. Those are facts, right? But Butker hit that field goal. We know who won the coin toss, and Mahomes could do his part, win the game. Again, nothing against Mahomes. He's awesome, absolutely. But Josh is capable, and he has already outplayed Mahomes in the playoffs. This 13 seconds game is proof of that. It's not enough. Let's go to the latest matchup. Chiefs 27, Bills 24. And here, for me, it's pretty clear what I always talk about Allen and Mahomes and their matchups, right? So, Chiefs 27, 24. Player stats. And yes, Patrick Mahomes, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks. He runs 6 times for 19 yards, right? And he had his best player, Travis Kelce, playing great with 5 receptions on 6 targets, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Allen had less yards throwing the ball. He threw 39 times, completed 26 of them, 186 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions, 0 sacks. Josh Allen also run the ball 12 times for 72 yards. And guess what? He was again the team's leading rusher. This time, James Cook ran 18 times for 61 yards. Ty Johnson was able to put up 40 yards on the ground. And Josh Allen finally could be responsible for less than 50% of the Bills' ground yards on this game. The Bills got 182 ground yards, and Josh was responsible for 72 of them. What's been not being told about this game is that, unlike Kelce, Stephon Diggs, the Bills' elite target, had just 3 receptions for 21 yards, 0 touchdowns on 8 targets. And Stephon Diggs dropped a 65-yard bomb, and you could add 65 yards and maybe another score to Josh Allen here, okay, if Diggs plays at the level he's supposed to play, makes the play that he's supposed to make, right? Other than that, yes, Kincaid played well, Shakir played well, and obviously Diggs drawed this attention and allowed them to get more opportunities. But Trent Sherfield had 1 reception for 7 yards on 3 targets, and the other 2 targets were 2 drops. And one was really difficult, another bomb. He did what he could, but he couldn't make that catch, diving catch, difficult one. But the other one was the same catch that Valdes-Scantling made. Contested catch, deep ball, fade throw, and Scantling was able to haul it in, right? And Sherfield wasn't. So, again, did Josh Allen outplay Mahomes in this game? Maybe not. Maybe they played in the same level. Maybe if Diggs does his part, we could be talking about he clearly outplaying Mahomes. If Bass hits that field goal, the game is on. If Dawkins hold that block a little bit more, Josh Allen has 1 more touchdown to Shakir here. So, again, just like Butker was able to hit that field goal late in the game in the 13 seconds game, unfortunately, Bass wasn't able to do so. Just like Mahomes' offensive line gives him all day long against the Bills, every game, and again, in this latest game, the Bills' offensive line was a non-factor. Unfortunately, Dawkins wasn't able to hold down Chris Jones on that play of the game moment for Jones. Otherwise, Josh could have hit Shakir in the end zone, and it's a potential game-winning score. So, my point with the tweet, and I will bring it and I will throw it on the screen yet again. Again, let me read it again. Josh Allen clearly is the only quarterback that not only can go toe-to-toe versus Mahomes, but can outplay him in the playoffs. Unfortunately, he gets nowhere near as much help, not from his weapons, nor from his offensive line, or and definitely not from his head coach versus Andy Reid, the pressing. My point of this tweet is, in the 3 playoff games against Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen definitely went toe-to-toe against him. Every single time. Mahomes had the best game in the first one. In the last 2, clearly Josh he outplayed Mahomes in the regulation, in the 13 seconds game. And he could have outplayed Mahomes in this last game. If people around him had elevated the games in the right time, just like people around Mahomes have done with Kelce, with Valdes-Scantling, with his offensive line. So, yes, Josh Allen has been let down by his coaches, by his teammates, sometimes by his go-to guys. And that's really, really disappointing, in my opinion, because the narratives are Mahomes owns Allen in the playoffs. Mahomes is on a tier above Allen, and Mahomes is on a total different level. And I can't disagree more, because I feel like Josh has done everything possible. But he's simply one guy. He's the quarterback. He's in the team. It clearly has been the Chiefs have gotten the best out of the Bills on those situations. The Chiefs have been better. As a franchise, as a team, they have figured out the Bills from their losses in the regular season. They have been able to beat them in the playoffs, playing their best football in the right time. And the Bills, they have been able to give answers and to play well against Kansas City and beat them in the regular season, but unfortunately they haven't been well prepared enough to have answers during the games in the postseasons, and they have lost to the Chiefs. And again, the Bills have lost to the Chiefs. Josh Allen hasn't lost the games to Mahomes. He hasn't. Definitely. The last two, definitely not. He has played well enough to win those games, more than enough to win those games. And unfortunately, circumstances around him have cost those games. Otherwise, people wouldn't be able to go with those fake narratives about, oh, Mahomes owns Josh in the playoffs.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So, to close down this point and move on to awards, I just want to make some comments on some of the comments about that tweet and Joe Burrow and those narratives on players that, oh, he wasn't able to win it all. He wasn't able to win a Super Bowl. So the other one is better because he won more Super Bowls. And again, we're talking about teams. We're not talking about tennis players, right? So Joe Burrow had some good games against the Chiefs. Yes, I checked it here. I obviously don't follow the Chiefs and the Bengals as close as I follow the Bills. But the last time Joe Burrow played against the Chiefs, let me throw it on the screen as well. The last time Burrow played against the Chiefs beat the Bengals 25-17. And Joe Burrow, I'm talking about this season's game. Let me bring the last playoffs game, because this one Burrow wasn't part of it. But the last time Burrow played the Chiefs, it was January 29, 2023, Sunday, Chiefs 23, Bengals 20, playoffs, right? Burrow threw for 207 yards, completing 26 or 41 passes, one touchdown, two interceptions, five sacks, four runs for 30 yards. Burrow didn't have a good run game in this game. Joe Mixon ran for only 19 yards, Perine for 22. And the results were clear. Burrow with the worst game. Josh Allen didn't have any game as bad as this Joe Burrow elimination game against the Chiefs, right? So for me, it's not like Burrow can't go toe-to-toe against Mahomes. He beat Mahomes sometimes in the playoffs, right? But I feel like Mahomes has more help than Josh Allen. I feel like Andy Reid is a better head coach than Sean McDermott. And again, nothing against McDermott on that. It's difficult to find a better head coach than Andy Reid, especially talking offense. That's what supports their quarterback. So with the way Reid is an offensive mind, he certainly contributes so much for Patrick Mahomes' success with his schemes, right? Travis Kelce has been a better weapon by playoff times than Stephon Diggs. Again, we're talking about the playoff record of touchdown catches, right? Surpassing Jerry Rice. So, yes, we want to see more from Diggs there, but nothing against him not being better than Kelce. Mahomes' offensive line has played better than the Bills' offensive line, Josh's offensive line, even being able to hold more than Bills' offensive line, if we're being honest, right? But yes, Mahomes has had better protection, and Allen has to run for his life more often. Mahomes has had more help from his offensive line in his run game as well, not needing to be the run game himself. And we know that Josh Allen is more often than not the main Bills rusher in those games. So Mahomes has had way more help, even if you feel like he's outplayed Allen on some of toe-to-toe games that I just showed you. Allen has had way more to do. He has less help. He's done more with less. And in my opinion, he's outplayed Mahomes in the last two games. And in the bare minimum, he's been toe-to-toe with him, right? So why I'm talking about this comparison, Mahomes and Allen, if I was talking about Burrow? Because Burrow has had even more help, in my opinion, than Mahomes. We're talking about a guy that has two top-notch wide receivers in Chase and Higgins, a really good chain mover in Boyd in the third wide receiver. He's had a great running back in mix on the run game, complementing a good defense. So I feel like Burrow is the guy who needs more around him to succeed. And we've seen Browning this season keeping the Bengals competitive. And let's be honest, if not by Burrow's bad first few 4 weeks where he had his calf injured, but he was a major factor on the Bengals playing poorly and losing the first weeks of the season. Maybe Browning would be able to lead that Bengals to the playoffs this season. So I can't put Burrow in the same level. I respect people who put him there, but I feel he's behind Josh, right? And I can understand Chiefs fans having Mahomes on a totally different level because he won Super Bowls and they are winning the games against the Bills. And I can understand them having Mahomes over Allen. I can't understand them getting mad on the comparison, because if you watch the games and you know a little bit about ball, you can see that Josh, he has to do a lot. He's asked to do a lot, passing, rushing the ball, and playing for a defense that has let him down in the playoffs. And yes, some Chiefs fans brought in that, oh, Mahomes smoked some number one ranked Bills defense. Yes, that's exactly something that I hold against McDermott, the way that they've played soft against those Chiefs in the past. I can tell it about this last game because, unfortunately, they were missing a lot of pieces. Yeah. But in the 13 seconds game, it was a totally let down by the defense against the Chiefs team. And they were a great offense, obviously. They had Hill, Kelsey. Mahomes is awesome. Still, you want your defensive mind head coach being able to at least stop that offense or slow them down and not allow a field goal to tie the game late in the game with 13 seconds left, bare minimum. The impact that Reed makes on the offensive side of the ball for Mahomes, we expect McDermott to make on the defensive side of the ball for Allen and the Bills, right? And I honestly feel that Spags has been more decisive than McDermott on those games, right? So what nullifies the advantage of having a defensive head coach if the opposing defensive coordinator can be as good or better than you when it matters the most? So Allen definitely needs more help, but we can ask him to do way more. Checking his playoff stats, he's been awesome. And again, showing on the screen so you can visualize it. Josh Allen played poorly against the Bengals and against Burrow, and that's why I get Bengals fans bringing Burrow into the conversation. But again, it's not just the Allen versus Burrow, is Bills versus Bengals, right? And the Bills were totally outmatched by the Bengals in that game in the playoffs. But Josh had two runs in 2021. Nobody had a better run than that. And you can't find a better performance even by Mahomes, who's been awesome in the playoffs, right? Josh Allen in 2021, in two games, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, right? and we've not even talking about the rushing stats. Then he had a bad 22 year where he threw 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, right? And again in 2023, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Josh Allen went to the playoffs 6 times, and 3 of them he had no interceptions at all, right? So Josh Allen has been different in the playoffs. Joe Burrow in the playoffs has nowhere near that success. Allen, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions in 10 games. Burrow, 7 games, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So Burrow isn't at the same level by playoff times when it mattered the most. And then Mahomes is awesome, obviously, with 17 games, 39 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Awesome, awesome, definitely awesome. But you still can't take one postseason run that was better than Josh's 2021. And that's why I really feel Josh isn't the same level. He just needs more help around him, everywhere around him. That's my point. And I feel like I could give you some of the reasons from my tweet, for my tweet, and why I really believe 17 could outplay Mahomes. I really believe he's asking to do more with less. I really believe I wouldn't trade him for Mahomes. No, never would do that. All right. And I trust him to lead the Bills going forward. I hope people can help him more. I hope he can continue to play at this insane level by playoffs time and lead the Bills to a Super Bowl. But he needs help. People gotta stop confusing player performances with team performances, especially in football team games. If you look even at basketball, where you have 5 starters, right, and at max by playoff times, 8-9-man rotation, Allen Iverson in the early 2000s led a Philadelphia 76ers team to the finals against the powerhouse Los Angeles Lakers led by Kobe and Shaq. And Allen Iverson played the entire season over 40 minutes per game. He was the leading scorer, the NBA's scoring champ, right? And around him, he had a group of role players, guys that played hard, played good defense, but or even veterans like Mutombo, but always a defensive guy, right? And he led those role players, that defensive team with him as the only threat on offense, right? He led the team to the finals. And he couldn't win against the Lakers because obviously we're talking about a team sport, but it's just 5-on-5 plus 3 or 4 rotational guys. And the Lakers were the best team, and they had 2 superstars in Shaq and Kobe, and it was too much for Allen Iverson by himself leading role players to overcome and win it all. And Allen Iverson finished his career without a ring. Do I respect him less because of that? Do I believe he was less of a player because he couldn't win? No doubt. I will never disrespect him because of that. Actually, I totally respect Allen Iverson for not going the easy route, for not trying to win it easy, to not going. He was traded to the Nuggets later and played alongside young Carmelo Anthony, but he never tried to build a super team. He took his teammates that he had and took them all the way, led them all the way. He led those Sixers teams every year without other superstars. And he tried to win being the main guy, and unfortunately he couldn't. Just like Stockton and Malone couldn't win against MJ and the Bulls, and they couldn't, but they were the guys and they tried hard and they were Hall of Fame guys, right? And unfortunately they couldn't, but they were good enough to do so. Unfortunately, they couldn't, and they never went the easy way, the easy route to do so, right? Still on this line of thinking, if Norwood hits a field goal, Jim Kelly is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So because Norwood misses a field goal, it makes Kelly lesser of a quarterback? Definitely not. So in my mind, Jim Kelly can't, in any comparison to Dan Marino, to Steve Young, to John Elway, you can't say, oh, but Kelly never won a Super Bowl. the Bills never won a Super Bowl. He led the team there. He obviously he had help from all those guys, great teams. But man, they were in position to win at least one. And unfortunately, a missed kick cost them. Right? Just like the missed kick cost Josh in the last game. Just like a kick that wasn't missed by Butker gave Mahomes another opportunity, and he took advantage of it because he's also he is an awesome player. I just can't judge players differently. And Kurt Warner recently told something about that, leaving the field on his Super Bowls where he's 1-3, having his team in position to win, and it was out of his hands to be able to win those games from that point on, and it wasn't on him. So you can't put 1-3 on Warner because he did enough to win that games, those games, right? So I can't make Kelly lesser of a quarterback because he couldn't win a Super Bowl. I feel like he put the Bills in position to win, and a better kick there and you win a Super Bowl. I can't judge Josh for not getting the Bills pass through those Chiefs in these last three playoffs because he's done enough. Unfortunately, the around him hasn't been good enough. And the same way I can't put on Allen Iverson, he never won the finals or an NBA title because he faced a better team. He lost to a better team. He didn't lose a 1-on-1 matchup against Kobe or against Shaq or against anybody else. So I feel like this on this subject. And feel free to comment. Why do you agree, disagree? It will be a pleasure to discuss with you on the YouTube comment section. So, Bills Mafia, hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings YouTube channel, follow us on Twitter, follow at Fernando Shimudi on Twitter, and let me know in the comment sections your opinions on this Josh versus Mahomes, Bills versus Chiefs, how much people had made winning a quarterback stat, and how they have treated quarterbacks as tennis players, boxers, MMA fighters instead of the teams and team games. So, Mafia, the last part of this show, 15 minutes to close it out, and I want to talk about the Bills Awards for this year, for 2023. And I will start by, we're talking Allen, and I will start with the MVP award, and I will tell you and describe what those awards mean to me. Right? Because nowadays it seems people don't even know what's the meaning of those awards. For some people, the MVP of the season is the best quarterback on the best team. For others, it's the guy, the best player in the league. But nobody have a description. They can't know for sure what's the meaning of those awards nowadays, right? And I wish the league came out and made a description for every award so voters can try to understand it better and vote more consciously on what it's supposed to mean, right? So MVP for me, the most valuable player on the team, the player that if you take out of that team probably would implode. They wouldn't be able to be as good as they are with him, nowhere near as good as they are without him. And the Bills MVP, the guy that makes the most difference in this team, no doubt in my mind, it's Josh Allen. For the same reasons I had defending my take of having him over Mahomes, he's asked to do a lot on this team. And yes, he makes mistakes. And look, I'm not the ultimate Josh Allen fanboy that will defend him no matter what. I didn't want him pre-draft. I didn't like him as a prospect. I didn't believe he would be able to succeed. Yes, I was wrong, thank God. And now I really love the guy as a leader, as a man, as a quarterback. And I feel like he's the right guy to lead the Bills to a Super Bowl. No doubts in my mind. With that said, and one thing that Mahomes has on Josh is consistency. And he's consistently better than Josh in regular season. despite Josh being able to be very consistent in the playoffs, playing at an awesome level. So Josh had bad games this season. He was the reason and the main factor in the Bills' loss in week one versus the Jets, forcing passes, having unnecessary turnovers. And he still needs to clean it up. And I feel like he's able to do so because he's done so in the playoffs when it matters the most against tougher opponents. So he can do that. He will make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But he's the most valuable Bills player, no doubt in my mind. You can take him away from this team and expect them to be even an over 50% team, in my opinion. They must be able to be around there by being gritty, right? Being McDermott leading a potent regular season defense, right? But I feel like the offense would explode without Josh because the Bills struggle to run the ball without him. He sometimes needs to be the leading rusher. We've seen the Bills trying to run the offense without Josh in running the ball with Dorsey early in the year, and it wasn't pretty, or it was good but not consistently good. So Josh is the MVP, hands down. Offensive player of the year. A lot of people probably have James Cook there, right? Because James Cook had a Pro Bowl season and he was a 1,000-yard rusher, and he rushed for 1,122 yards at 4.7 yard per carry, just two touchdowns, three fumbles, right? And yes, it was nice to see James Cook up and coming, but I still, when I pick the offensive player of the year, obviously it would have been Josh again, just like as an MVP, because Josh is the most important player of this offense, right? So if you take him away of this offense, they would implode, in my opinion. But I don't want to give another award for Josh. So the second best offensive player, the second most important offensive player for the Bills. And despite the second half of the season and the playoffs, I still have Stephon Diggs as the offensive player of the year, right? He had a great half of the year. The first half of the year was really good. And he finished the year with 107 catches, 1,183 yards, 8 touchdowns to Cook's 2. Cook had 4 more, right? 6 receiving passes. But still, Diggs, he's the go-to guy. He draws all the attention. He opens up things for others. He had 107 targets, and the second most target guy had 73 in Kincaid, who's another up-and-coming nice one. But I feel like, yes, Diggs is still the offensive player of the year. He wasn't the same Diggs as we've been used to. He looked hurt sometimes. He looked weird sometimes. He had some weird drops that we're not used to see. He took himself out of games. Sometimes he looked not happy sometimes, but he produced and he drew attention from opposing defenses. And he was, in my opinion, the second most important player of this offense and the offensive player of the year of the Bills in terms of production and in terms of importance. Defensive player of the year. In my opinion, the most important player on that defense side of the ball, the player that if you take out the defense, is hurt the most, right? And this year, we could see, actually, unfortunately, in the most important game of the year, how much the Bills missed this guy. And that's my guy, Terrell Bernard, the guy that I told you he would be awesome, right? And he was even better than what I expected so quickly. And he was the Bills Defensive Player of the Year. It's awesome how he took command of this defense, how he, you could see since his day one as a starter, since week one, he was in command. He knew the defense. He just needed, you know, that pilot that just finished the course and with all the grades, and now he just needs experience with real flights. And that was Bernard this year, and he became the leader of this defense, playing fast, playing aggressive. making plays in coverage, making plays blitzing the quarterback, making plays against the run. He's not a perfect linebacker, all right? He's on the smaller side. Sometimes he can miss some tackles, but he's always around the ball. He can slow down rushers so other people can finish those tackles. He can finish other people's tackles, right? He can cover in the middle of the field. He can position his teammates. So he's the heart and soul of this defense nowadays. And it will be great to have Milano back alongside him. But that's the green dot guy. And he's so important for this defense. So Terrell Bernard, the Bills Defensive Player of the Year. And I would be very, very impressed if you don't see a C on his chest next season. That's a Bills defensive captain for sure, in my opinion, and the leader of this defense. Offensive rookie of the year. So for me, the rookie with the best performances and the most impressive rookie on the offensive side of the ball. And yes, Kincaid was impressive, and he's growing, he's going the right direction. He already established himself as the second main weapon for Josh Allen, right, in the passing game behind Diggs. He was the second most target guy, and in the playoffs he was the go-to guy even, right? But I can't put him over Torrance, right? Yes, offensive line is sometimes overlooked. It isn't pretty all the time. You don't notice offensive line guys when they are playing. We don't notice them so much when they are doing their job, but when they don't do their job, we notice them a lot. So we don't notice Torrance so much, and that's because he's so solid. That's because he's being really rock solid in the middle of that line. And a second round guy, a guy that fell to the second round for some reason, to come in to play all these snaps this season, right, as a rookie who isn't used to playing at the professional level against studs week in and week out, right? Defensive tackle, the best defensive tackles in the league against the Eagles, against the Chiefs, Chris Jones, against Wilkerson, against all those guys. And to be able to do his job like he did, impressive stuff from Torrance. And that's why he's my rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. I don't have a defensive rookie of the year because Dorian Williams would win by default, right? So I have a defensive young player of the year instead. All right. And my defensive young player of the year is Christian Benford, because yet again, he could beat Elon, beat Dane Jackson. And he started the year as a starter opposing Tre'Davious White. And he finished the year, unfortunately hurt, but he was the starter opposing Rasul Douglas. And that's a guy who we heard talks about moving him to safety maybe, and came as a sixth rounder out of Villanova, a basketball college, not a football college, but he's gotten better year after year. He's physical, he can tackle well, and he established himself as a very good starter, at least in the Bills schemes, in the Bills defense. He is a very good starter. So he started to make more plays on the ball. I really like his all-around game, and I feel like he's trending up as well. A little bit worried about his health, right? It's the second year in a row that he couldn't finish the year healthy, but he deserves this award as the young defensive young player of the year. Most improved player of the year. Khalil Shakir is my most improved guy. He started the year maybe behind Hardy in Sheffield with all the attention that Sheffield drew on the training camps. But Shakir started to, as the season went on, his chemistry with Josh started to get better. And by playoffs times, he finally established himself, in my opinion, as that slot guy that we haven't had since Cole Beasley left. So Shakir is trending in the right direction. I feel like he did enough to deserve the opportunity to enter the next offseason as the slot guy, right? Go-to slot guy. And even in conversation to get some number two snaps, right, at wide receiver. We don't know if the Bills will draft the number two. I hope so, right? We don't know if the Bills are going to try to bring somebody as to be this boundary number two. But Shakir can play outside as well. So he's trending the right direction. And I feel like we can trust him already as a dependable guy in the slot. Josh, as from the moment Josh started to use him more, he never let him down. So I like where Shakir is trending right now. Coach of the year, and I won't have an assistant coach of the year because obviously we only have one head coach. So the coach of the year candidates are McDermott, Dorsey, Brady, and then the positional coaches, right? We just elevated Babich to defensive coordinator now. And Babich could have been a nice candidate here, in my opinion, because of the work with Terrell Bernard, even Tyrell Dodson, right? And the guys needing to fill in all the injuries. Another possibility, obviously, would have been McDermott because the start of the year wasn't good. And it wasn't good, in my opinion, both sides as a head coach, because the Bills weren't playing good football, good complementary football, right? When the offense played well, the defense didn't play well, and the opposite was true. And then the special teams wasn't playing well all year long, and that's why Smiley isn't even into consideration, in my opinion, here. But McDermott could fix it. He fired Dorsey. He elevated Brady. It made the offense get going, right? And he also was able to fix his fears late in games. He stopped playing soft. He got more aggressive on the defensive side of the ball to close out games. So he improved there. I feel like he didn't have a lot of answers for Andy Reid in the playoffs. I didn't like his game plan there. Yes, he missed a lot of guys, obviously. But the coach of the year is Brady, in my opinion. Joe Brady, coach of the year. Just elevated the Bills offensive coordinator and not the interim anymore. And yes, I don't think Dorsey was as bad as people think. I don't think it was Dorsey's decision to not run Josh Allen. He didn't have the green light there to run Josh, and Brady had this green light. But Brady did the most what he had. He was able to make the Bills offense dangerous running the ball. The offensive line was physical playing for him. Josh could run the ball as well. He wasn't perfect, but he was very good, in my opinion. And I loved his game plan against the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people didn't like it. I really liked it. I feel like the Bills could run the ball early, establish the run game, could make Spags adjust and start to play more aggressive against the run. What open opportunities downfield. I feel like he took a little bit too long to recognize that in the third quarter, but he had some shot plays there, and he called it. And unfortunately, the Bills wide receivers couldn't catch those passes and make the Chiefs pay. But the game plan was there, and then he adjusted to the Chiefs defense stopping the run with some run pass options, some screen passes. I like the game plan. I feel like the wide receivers weren't good enough to make the Chiefs pay downfield. But I'm really anxious to see what he's going to do now with an offseason, being able to install his own playbook and using what he likes from Dorsey playbook, and how he's going to deal with Diggs, how he's going to use Diggs, how he's going to use his new weapons that the Bills are certainly bringing in. I'm anxious, curious to see, but in 2023, I feel like what he's done was really deserving to get the offensive coordinator job, and that's why he's my coach of the year. and to finish the disappointment of the year, one each side to close it down. I feel like Gabe Davis was the disappointing player of the year on offense. He was in nowhere near number two material. Drops, going invisible. A lot of the Josh Allen's interceptions and misses were miscommunication with Gabe Davis, a guy who was supposed to be on the same page with Allen, with as much as he works hard and the time he's had in the Bills roster. So Gabe Davis was a letdown in my opinion, and I honestly wish the best for the guy, but I hope he moves on in his career to another team. I hope somebody else pays him so the Bills can't bring him back. And on defense, Kyir Elam. Yes, he hid his injury. He didn't want to allow people to know he was having trouble with his ankle, and it cost him early in the year. He wasn't playing nowhere near the level we expect your former first-round pick at cornerback playing at that moment when he had some opportunities. He looked better after coming back from injury reserve. I feel like he had an up-and-down game against the Steelers, but overall I felt like a good performance in making plays, interception, almost another interception. Even his foul that looked bad, holding the wide receiver, it avoided a touchdown and gave him an opportunity to make a play in the next snap. So I feel like he's capable still to recover. But for 2023 overall, he was my disappointing player of the year because I expected him to be able to play better this season, and unfortunately, it didn't happen. Hopefully, he can have a good offseason and he can come back this next season better prepared and have a better look for his health so he can produce at the level we all expect. Bills Mafia, that's it for today. I really appreciate your taking your time joining me on the Leading the Charge. Let me know if you agree or disagree to all my takes here. And it's always a blast to interact with you. It's always a blast to be part of the Buffalo Ramblings team and to produce content for you. Hit that like button, subscribe, and I'll be back next Sunday with the Portuguese version of the Leading the Charge. And then next Friday again in English. The content creation doesn't stop. Thank you so much. See you around. Go Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.